gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to Broken But
Glorious.
Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Sparks. How are you this evening, Sparks?
I'm okay.
I'm great, thank you. So, thanks for joining us this evening.
Yeah, no props.
Yeah, so before we get into more of the Mr. Williams character, I just want to know, firstly, how long have you been a wrestling fan?
Yeah.
Since
I was 15, it was. WrestleMania 7, first time I ever saw wrestling.
Yeah.
Or American style wrestling, shall I say. I do remember watching the World of Sports stuff when I was a kid.
I used to watch it at Nan's on a Sunday, I'm sure. It was a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, like, we used to get it. I'm talking back in the day when I was like, I don't know, 7 or 8 or something. I remember sitting there watching it, and I enjoyed it back in the day. Like, and then there was a gap of, I think, maybe like 2 or 3 years, and then all the American stuff started coming over. And I got invited down to a lad's house, Gareth Rawton, who is Sean Phoenix.
Yeah.
Didn't know at the time, obviously. Coming to that meeting maybe, but going back to his house, and the first thing was Vince McMahon, "Welcome to WrestleMania!" And that was it,
then I was up. WrestleMania 7's a good one to get into, so.
Yeah,
Hogan, not Hogan Warrior, it was Warrior Savage, wasn't it?
Yeah. Warrior Savage,
yeah.
Match.
Yeah, great match.
Yeah.
So who was your favourite wrestler growing up?
Who
was your favourite wrestler growing up?
I used to like, pretty much the reason is why what I do now. I used to like the characters.
Yeah.
People like Rick Rude, Rick Martel as well, Jake Snake, Bobby Heenan. Always used to love watching Bobby Heenan and listening to him as well on the commentary with Gorilla.
Yeah.
Him and Heenan have got to be, for me anyway, the best commentary team that there's ever been, for me personally anyway. Just the way they used to bounce off each other.
Yeah.
On the comedy lines that, Heenan used to throw out, just like a cut to someone in the crowd, and he'd come up with some like off the cuff kind of thing, which is kind of, I try and do that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
If someone says something in the crowd, I won't leave it, I'll try and come back with something. And it can develop over, like, there's a lad who's always in the front row of the show, it's called Chris, Little Chris. You might know him yourself from some of the Island shows.
He's the one that has the championship belt.
He always has the belt, yeah.
Yeah, I think he sits in front of me every time I'm there, so.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so you know him. And there was a little thing, we used to have like a little back and two, and he's now a regular thing on one of my entrances. I always pick him out and give him a shout, like, just that stuff, because the crowd want to get involved at the end of the day. They want to be there, they want to interact with it, and that's what I try and do.
Yeah, so you kind of mentioned it, but is there a wrestler you tried to mould your style around?
Not really. I always, like you say, I always remember going back to the characters and the stories, like the Million Dollar Man, with Virgil, that little bit of a story, which is basically what we've done at RWA, and now the Island with Callum and the Mr. Williams Billy Norton story. That was my version of the Million Dollar Man and Virgil.
Mm-hmm.
But no one person who like first. If I'm sitting in the house and I'll watch the network or something, I go like way back to like 88. It's between kind of 88 and 93, 94. Is what I always watch.
That's what my girlfriend always watches. She always have to go watch, like, we kind of start late 91 and then she gets to 94 and then she doesn't know any wrestlers after that, shoot, so we go back.
Right, well, yeah, yeah. Well, that's it. Well, that for me was where, that was where I really fell in love with it all. And passing the tapes across to you, because we didn't have Sky. So I had to pass tapes over to, across the road to my old friend, and she was calling when it was on. And that's how I got to, and that's, like, stories-wise, even, like, little move sequences and stuff, I'll always go back to that.
Yeah.
But there's no one person who I try and emulate and be like. I just take a little bit of this person, a little bit of that person. Even if it's just a look,
yeah,
or a mannerism, or a phrase, that's where I always pitch my stuff from back there.
So what first prompted you to don the tights and get into the ring then?
Tights? Bloody tights. I'm not a tight. I'm not wearing tights. That's another reason why I do what I do, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
But it was, going back to how I got into wrestling, Gareth Rohn, through a friend, was how I met Gaz. He was only like a young kid then. He was about maybe 10, 12, I think. And then years later, like literally, I was a kid, I was 15, lost touch with Gaz, and then it was literally like 20 years later or something, I think I was 35, 36, and I'd started going to watch UK shows. I'd gone to like a lot of the WWF stuff back in the day, so I got to see Hogan and Undertaker. I went to SummerSlam 92, stuff like that. So I started going to watch the UK shows with my lad Joe, and we've been to a few Future Shock shows, and then I started looking a bit more local, and I came across the IWA. Got to the Grange Way in Gunn-Corner to watch our first show there. And there was someone stood chatting with who I now know is Bonnie, the lady on the front desk who does the tickets and takes the payment and stuff on show day. And she was chatting with someone, and I looked over and I'm thinking, I know you, I know your face, but I don't know who the hell you are. And I don't know why I know you, but I know you. So I walked over in the queue, like as daft as this may seem, I'm not shy by any stretch, like, and I was like, I'm sorry mate, I know this is going to sound really weird. But I know you, but I don't know where from.
Happens to me every day.
Terrible
names. It's
not a usual thing to happen. So we kind of looked at me, and I looked at him, and he like, oh, it's Paul. I'm like, oh, yeah. It's bloody hell. So we got chatting, and I obviously remembered then that it was Gaz's house. It was his house where I very first watched wrestling. And we're at a wrestling show, and it was like, oh, small world, bloody hell. To the venue, like, in the hall, sits in our seats and stuff. Sat watching the show. And, next minute, music hits, wrestler comes through the curtain, big shout as he goes arm in the air, and it's Gaz. And I'm like, oh my god, he's wrestling! No way! So I'm like, my mind was blown at this point, like I'm thinking, we used to watch wrestling and he's gone and done it, and he's a wrestler on the show. I was like, no way! So anyway, so I watched the show, and I found it, like me and Joe got really into it and stuff. It's grassroots stuff at RWA, which is one of the reasons I like it. There is good stories get told there and stuff. I stayed around at the end of the show, spoke to Gaz. I just casually threw out, like, I said, oh, we train every Saturday, you should come down if you want. Like, maybe. I mean, I've never been, even now, like, I'm not a shy person. If there's something I want to go and try or go and do, I'll pretty much go and do it. So a couple of weeks went by and Joe was saying, are you going to go be a wrestler, Dad? And I was like, oh, we'll see. But I was working. I'm going to go down. So me and Joe went down, had our first session, and that was it. everyone does this, the first wrestling session you go to, you walk away, and your head is literally like buzzing with things that you want to do, that you remember from training, you're thinking of where it might lead, and all that. And that was pretty much me hooking. And that was about 4 or 5 years ago, I think it was.
Yeah, my co-host Nick, he lasted one training session, he came, that sore. After bumping around for 2 hours.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it can get you that way if you're not used to things, if you're not used to being physical anyway. But I was generally pretty fit. I think around this time I've been doing a lot of running. I'd done a few marathons and one daft ultra marathon that I did and stuff. So I've always been, and all through my life I've always ran, I've always been a runner.
Yeah, so what came first, the Mr. Williams character or your first match?
Mr. Williams came first.
Yeah.
I took my time with training, to be honest. What I did do, I think I'd only been training maybe three months maybe. And we were short of an announcer for a show. And I kind of threw my hat in the ring, like, I'll have a go, you know. Again, not shy, like, I'll go home and get my suits, I'll have a go. Because from day one, I didn't just want to... If I ever do something, I want to do it properly. I want to try and look the part. Not like half-ass something, if you know what I mean. So I went away, I got myself some little cards and stuff. You know, I went home, I didn't just do it in what I was wearing that day. I purposely went home, got my suits, dug my shoes out. First time I'd ever been on a show in front of a crowd. And I think that side of it really helps with confidence, how it's best to get on a show. Personally, I would always say, try and announce or try and be ring crew or try and do the music, just so you're around the, the atmosphere of a show.
There's always somebody who might not turn up one day.
Of course there is, that's the number one, that always being a gate, that's the number one rule now. But aside from the actual wrestling side of it, it's great to just get involved. I started announcing and I was lucky enough to then go and work for, I think at one time I was working for like six or seven companies doing announcing. At the same time I was training, I had a couple of ideas for stuff I might want to do, and the teacher side of it, the Mr. Williams character, just kind of evolved. But from me very, what you see now in the ring was how Mr. Williams looked from day one. I didn't have the blazer obviously, but I did wear trousers, shirt, me tie. Did I start training? I did start wearing trainers, but like, everyone does. But eventually, like, certain things have evolved and changed, but basically the character as a whole is what you see now was that from day one. I think from the very first day of training to the first match, I think was something like 9 months.
Wow.
Now, for some people, that's a long time. For some people, it's a short time. Like, at RWA, that's another good thing. You will get on a show and you'll get live experience, personally, I think, anyway, before you will anywhere else. I think Dr. Tom and Ray Paul, I think Chris Silvio has been there a couple of times.
Yeah.
Package Sharp as well. And Andy will obviously use them. But as for outsiders coming in, it doesn't really happen, like ever. So it's really good. I mean, I've known lads that come to training, you pick it up really quick, and they're on a show in like maybe 3 months, 4 months.
Oh.
But for me, it just, I want it to be, my first match, I didn't want it to be, it sounds really stupid, but just another first match.
Hmm.
I wanted it to be something different. I wanted to get the gimmick over. And pretty much from day one, it did. Like I say, I have changed things and how I act and certain things, but It's gone well. I couldn't really. I picked the right gimmick anyway.
So take us back to your first match, and what did you remember about it? And in hindsight, what was your opinion about it?
My very first match was with a young lad called Connor the Bullet Stafford, which you should know, I think.
I recognise the name.
Yeah. He's been at RWA. I think he's 18 now.
Yeah.
And he's a 9-year vet already.
Wow.
He's been tag champ, junior tag champs. He's been RWA next level champ. He's been the RWA heavyweight champ. He's a great young lad. He's a good talent as well. I don't think he puts himself out there maybe as much as he could and probably should do. And he's just literally started to do that now, so I'm hoping that people will give him a chance and pick him up and use him. But he's a great lad. And my first debut, we did a junior show, well, not a junior show match. They have two classes at RWA. One's the very first one, which is generally for kids.
Yeah.
I'm not bothered. Like, I'll talk to the kids at RWA the same as I'll talk to an adult. I'm not bothered if you're doing the same thing as me. I'm not bothered. You've got as much right to be wrestling as I have. I don't think because I'm an older guy or whatever that I should get in before you or anything like that, or I can't work with the kids, or I'm just off for having a laugh. I'm not bothered. What it is, pretty much, I'm too old to give a toss. I'm one of them embarrassing dads. I'll be dancing in the street if a tune comes on and stuff. I'm not bothered.
So you recently did a tour of Australia. How did the character go over down under? Does that make sense?
It went over okay. It wasn't really a tour as such. What it was, all my family live over there.
Yeah.
In Australia, so it was a family holiday, but I couldn't not go over there and try and wrestle. So I got in touch with a couple of companies, and we ended up working for a company which was basically, I think, based about 15 minutes from my mum and dad's house in Gold Coast, called IPW, run by a lad called Josh Ives. I messaged the event page with a couple of details, the usual spiel, how long you've been wrestling, character, couple of promo shots, asking if there would be any chance of, you know, possibly working with them or whatever. And he seemed to like the gimmick, and we'll use you, give us a shout when you come in. So me and my daughter Katie wrestled for them. We flew on a Thursday, we got there on a Friday and we did the show on a Saturday. Yeah, pretty much. But it went well, it was good. We also did, before the show, they did a seminar with a guy called Ryan Fujiwara. He's an Australian guy, but he works a lot in Japan now.
Yeah.
For Tajiri. He's basically based over there now. And a lot of the stuff that he actually knows through, like I say, wrestling is a very small world. He knows Andy.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff that he was saying is very much the stuff that Andy says as well in training. Just the mentality of wrestling, of training, of getting yourself in shape, trying to be the best that you can be, if you like. Because, you can train all you want, but if you're not going to go to gym, people aren't going to know how good of a wrestler you are because they might not give you a chance because of your look, if you like. You know, you're trying to get outside bookings and stuff and you're messaging promoters. They always want... Basically, you're trying to sell yourself at the end of the day. I'm going off track. Okay, sorry, I was doing
that. Right.
But you should, for me personally, you should try and either have a very strong gimmick or a very strong look. How you get yourself to the gym, pretty much. So that was the show we did in Australia. Kate also got picked up as well to go and work in Brisbane the following weekend for AWA Grindhouse. And that went well as well. So we only did a couple of shows over there, but it was a great experience. Just the fact of, like, I could say that I've wrestled in America, in Australia, and all around the UK, if you'd have told me that, when I first started that first session, maybe back then, I'd have been like, shut your mouth, idiot. But it's just like, it is what it is, and it is crackers, and it still blows my mind, but you've got to put yourself out there at the end of the day, so.
So as you mentioned, your daughter wrestles as Jamie Sparks.
Yes, she does, yeah.
So you must be immensely proud of her success so far.
Oh, yeah, definitely, I think I'd been training in about a month, and she was doing some, she'd done gymnastics for about 7 years, at county level. She used to do gymnastics for Cheshire Merseyside, and she'd finished with that. Then she went to do some bloody street dance thing in Warrington, she was doing that. And then she come to a point where she wasn't doing anything, and I started the wrestling, and I was really getting into it. And I was like, well, come down and have a go if you want. And she was like, me, wrestling? She didn't even watch it. She'd never even watched wrestling with me. If I watched it, if I was watching wrestling, she walked in, she'd probably walk out again. But she came down and started wrestling. The very first time she took a bump, she missed a mat.
Ooh.
And it kind of threw her off a bit. So that very first session, she missed the next 2 weeks or something. I think it really knocked her confidence. But she came back after a couple of weeks, and she really got into it. And I think I'm right in stuff. Let me have a think. I think I'm right in saying she's the youngest ever WWE Women's Champion. I think she was Women's Champion when she was 14.
Wow.
And she had that belt for I think this was on something else the other day. Some kind of third. I think she's the longest reigning champion. Women's champion of RWA, and it was really nice actually, because at the point that she had the belt, I also held the NXL title.
Yeah.
at RWA, so we've got a couple for the memory box, a couple of pictures with us both with our belts and stuff like that. So that was really nice. But yeah, I'm proper proud of her. She's doing more stuff than I'm doing now.
with you being such a heel character and her being a face, is it ever difficult to separate the father and daughter relationship during shows? Or?
No, not really. Strangely enough, we have actually wrestled each other.
Yeah.
we've done singles and tags. We've actually been on the same team as tagging, and we've actually wrestled each other on separate teams. In the Australia match, that was a six-person tag, and I was on one team, and she was on the other.
Yeah.
it actually works quite well, to be honest, because obviously I trust her, she trusts me. So there's no awkwardness or anything like that. She knows I'm not bothered. I am the tip. Well, if you imagine, if you were to look up embarrassing dad in the dictionary, there's probably a picture of me in gimmick, probably. It's worked well so far. I mean, early days, I helped her get in work and stuff, but now she's paying me the favour back. Now she's getting a bit more known. She's actually helped me get a couple of bookings here and there. So yeah, it's nice though. It's actually, as strange as it is, it's a nice thing to be doing, together, if you like, road trips and stuff.
So you're both going to Belgium in a couple of months. With your character being so vocal, calling the fans idiots and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
How does it translate with a non-English audience?
To be honest, Katie went to... She went over there in March,
yeah.
And the promoter over there, Steve, because of her age and stuff, we were a bit nervous about it, if you like. Because she was only 17 then. She's 18 now, but she was only 17. First time she's flown on her own. First time she's been to a foreign country on her own.
Mm.
Which is a lot at 17, I suppose. But with doing what we do, it's known it's going to happen at some point. So, you know, why not be now? Like, but through chatting with Steve, he got to know that I was a worker as well. I sent him a couple of daft... In fact, I was doing a promo for something else. I think it was for Australia, actually. And he just sent me some stuff from a story that he'd just been doing on it on his show in Belgium.
Mm.
So I said to him, like I said, oh, while I'm doing this promo, I'll film one for you. Just, you know, I'll just throw it together a bit daft-like. And I'll see if you know, if you like it, you can get an idea for what I do. So I sent it over to him. I was like, oh, that's mint. That's great. Like, he said, do you mind if I use it? And I was like, well, hang on. You know, that was just something like I just threw together in like 2 minutes. But he actually really liked the gimmick and the character. And over there, they all speak good English. It's strange. Exactly. People over here, if someone came over talking Belgian, everyone would be like, what? But everybody in Belgium, the Katie met, they all speak good English. Mm. So I don't think it'll be a problem, personally. They already know the gimmick because they've seen the promo. It actually got a good reaction. I got a few likes and stuff on the gimmick page and stuff just from that promo that Steve put up. So I'm looking forward to the show. We've got a nice little bit of an angle to work as well, so that's not so bad.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be really, really fun.
Sup guys, it is the leader of the Billy Club, Billy Nolan, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
So,
yeah.
So I've asked the official Wrestle Island fan Facebook group. That's a mouthful.
Oh, have you now? You've asked the idiots, have you? Is that one of that you've asked the idiots, yeah?
Yeah, to provide some questions, so I'll drop the questions in as topics come up. So
right, yeah.
So at the next Wrestle Island show, you have a lumberjack match against Billy Norton. Could you take us through the history of the feud? Or?
Right, well, the history of the feud is Billy, idiot that he is, started getting a little bit too big for his boots. If you remember, not that long back, it was probably about 12 months actually, the first couple of Wrestle Island shows, I was good enough to let Billy in my corner. He wanted to the experience, he wanted to see what I did.
Mm.
So I was like, okay then, Billy, you can be in my corner, come on, away you go, you can be my prefect. He dubbed himself the perfect prefect, by the way. That wasn't my title. He gave himself that title. I just let him run with it. But I don't know what he thought he was doing, but he ended up being a bit of a hindrance, if I'm honest.
Mm.
If he'd be honest with himself, if he'd look back at those couple of shows, he was more help than hindrance. And I don't need that kind of idiocy in my corner. So I had to bring in the student union of Jack and Frederick just to make sure he couldn't cock up any one of my matches. He didn't like that. He took it upon himself to get in my face. So, and I couldn't stand for that, obviously. So I had to slap him down and put him in detention.
That's what the last Wrestle Island show, Billy Norton defended his Wrestle Island career against you. Could you tell the listeners about this match?
Career? What career has he had? What career has Billy Norton ever had?
Well, he's a fan favourite. Ever had,
so. I've got him. Me, yeah. Mr. Williams, has got him his opportunities. Career, don't make me laugh. He might have a few bloody idiot followers, Billy Club. Tell you what, idiots they are. But again, I think a little bit of attention that he got from his Billy Club, as they call themselves, I think that went to his head. I think that's definitely what happened. It went to his head. He got a bit inflated of himself. And again, he stated that, not me. I'll put my career on the line. Don't make me laugh, idiots. But then, anyway, I pinned him 1-2-3. His career should have been gone. He should have been marooned on another island. Never mind WrestleBuddy Island.
But you did.
He should have been off.
But Mr. Williams, you did knock him out with your clipboard.
Whoa! Ask the referee. Did Mike Pope Mr. Pope, did he see my clipboard across Billy Norton's head at any point in that match? Well,
he probably didn't. But
He didn't.
Pete,
Vince McMahon, wannabe Pete, took it upon himself to get in the ring. Took him a while, by the way, but he got in the ring, got in my face, and reversed the decision. I couldn't believe it. Could not believe it. So now I've got to face the idiot again in a lumberjack match.
Yeah, so I'm guessing this guy is a fan of yours, Graham Fisher. He said, did you hear people cheer your pinfall over Billy, which was so cruelly changed?
It was cruelly changed. There you go. I'm liking Mr. Fisher already. It was cruelly, very cruelly changed. But no, to be honest, I didn't hear any cheering going on. I was too busy celebrating my win with my student union. So no, I didn't hear anybody cheering. I heard a lot of people crying. Apparently there was little kids in the front rows crying their eyes out. If I'd have seen them, I'd have pointed and laughed, to be quite honest with you. But I didn't, because like I said, I was too busy enjoying my moment of the win.
And Graham Williams asks, what have you got up your sleeves for the Lumberjack match against Billy Norton at the next show? Have you decided who you want as your Lumberjacks and Jills?
Right, well, Graham is an idiot, I'll tell you now. I don't wear sleeves. He should know that. He's seen me wrestle enough. Bloody hell. I don't wear sleeves. It's guards that I wear. But, anyway, what have I got in store for Billy, shall we say? Now, if I was any type of teacher, I wouldn't be giving away my secrets, would I? Because all that Billy knows, I taught. Yeah. But I didn't teach him everything that I know. So that would be very silly of me, wouldn't it? I'd be the idiot then if I was to tell you what I've got in store for Billy Norton during the Lumberjack match. As for Lumberjacks, I've said this. I was asked a question by that idiot interviewer backstage about the Lumberjacks and who do I want to use. And I was just like, bring everyone. Get everyone out there. I'm really not bothered. My union will be by my side, and we'll see, once and for all, Billy Norton gets what's coming, gets the stuffing knocked out of him, gets cut down to size, and, he can toddle off somewhere, he can find another island to get marooned on, I don't know.
As you mentioned, there's the Wrestle Island backstage interviewer, Craig Henderson, so he commented saying Lucy frightens him. Will she be part of the Lumberjacks?
Do you know what? I don't know. I don't know if we're having Lumberjacks and Lumberjills. Don't get me wrong, Bryony would hold her own with any of those idiots. She probably only scares him because he's an idiot himself. So, you know, he's probably just scared of the IQ combined in the student union because he obviously hasn't got much, to be fair. He does his best, bless him, but no.
He also said that he's sure that Billy will find a few friends of his own. So, and he also asks, why do you like pushing around backstage interviews?
Listen. If he wants to be an idiot and asking me stupid questions, what does he expect?
Yeah.
What does he expect? It was only a tiny push. It's not my fault he's only got one leg. That's not my fault, is it? Is that my fault?
No.
If he's going to ask me stupid questions in my face with a bloody microphone, talking nonsense, what does he honestly expect?
And then Stephen Monk asks, where do you see yourself in a year?
In a year? I can see myself and the student union being a very, how shall I put that? When I say ominous maybe? A force within British wrestling, shall we say. Because me and the union, we are getting about now to a couple of places. As well as shining bright lights from all these bookings that we might be getting, I can see gold. That's right, gold. Whether that's gold for me, gold for the boys, possibly in the tag division, or gold or crowns for Bryony.
Isn't there a rumour that they're going to bring
in a trios
title, possibly?
Pardon?
Isn't there rumours they're going to bring in a trios title?
I've heard this rumour as well, and that's another thing we will hopefully, never mind hopefully, we will be involved with. I'm sure.
And he also asks, where can he get some idiot stickers from at the next show. He said he's also already got a detention slip, but he'd love an idiot sticker.
Right, well, if you'd open his mince pies and look on the merch table, along with my t-shirts, cards, photos...
glasses.
...that are available, all at reasonable prices, by the way, all reasonable prices, and available to be signed, you will also see stickers at the bargain price of £2 for a pound. You tell me that's a bargain.
That's a bargain, yeah.
Bargain, top bargain.
Bargain.
So if you open his mince pies next time, I'd be lucky enough.
That's a good luck with your match against Billy Norton. So should be a fun match. So we're
a fun match. Fun? You think it's going to be fun? It's not going to be any fun for Billy Norton. It's not going to be fun for him when I toss him over that top rope there and let the lumberjacks and Jills get hold of him. They'll be stomping mud holes in him when I'm done. There won't be much left, so enjoy him while you can.
So where can people see you in the future? So we've got Wrestle Island on the first.
Yes, we've got Wrestle Island on the first. Myself and the Student Union are at the next Alpha Omega show.
Yeah.
Which I think, have you got the date there?
May 26th.
Yeah, of May. So in a couple of weeks we're there. On the 1st of June. 3rd of June. Sorry, yeah, there you go. I'm being an idiot now. It's late, getting late, so I've got just done a stack of market before I did this, so you know, yeah. Get everywhere. 3rd of June, myself, I am at WrestlePro, and then, as you just mentioned there, July, I'm off to Belgium, for my first European date, there we go.
Yeah.
Hopefully the first of many. I've just come back from Scotland this weekend.
Was that the Scotland versus England?
Yes, it was. Yeah, for
that on Twitter. Respect
pro wrestling up in Kilbride, another place full of idiots. So I think they have mentioned that I might be back at there at some stage to deal with the Scottish clowns up there, because believe you me, they need dealing with.
And then you're hoping to make an.
I'm back again, idiots! I'm back again.
That's the thing. You're hoping to make another trip to the States. I hear you're good friends with Sugar Dunkinson because you.
Yes, I met Sugar Dunkinson over there at a Heroes and Legends show.
Yeah.
Also a couple of other guys that, I'll tell you what, I'll drop the names in on this. Jason Saint.
Yeah.
Shane Mercer and Isaiah, if you can try and find those three guys. Along with Sugar, obviously. Those guys are doing big things over there. And they're all the great, great lads. Not an idiot among them, I'll have you know. All good guys. You'll see me sharing their stuff now and again. Get onto them, give them a follow. So I'm hoping I'm going to get a reply back, possibly in the next week or so, for the show that I want to get on there, and I'm going to base the trip around that show.
Yeah.
Hopefully get back to OVW and possibly IWA as well, because I worked for them last time I was over there. Possibly one or two other places. I'm only going to go for a week, but I'm going to try and cram as much in that week as I can.
Amazing. So before you go, do you want to promote any social media?
Well, you can find me obviously on my Mr. Williams Esquire. That's the same on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. You've got my good self as well, and we'll go back now to Sparks. You can find me on there, Sparks Williams. Catch up with any wrestling stuff that I get up to, any shows that I get up to, I always share my stuff on there. Apart from that, anything RWA related, get onto them. If anyone's ever wanted to start training, I know that Pete's big into promoting RWA as well.
Yeah.
Get down there, because a lot of the lads that Pete now uses all started at RWA. There's another lad, a couple of other lads that... They don't train there still now, but they started at RWA. Some people you'll be aware of, some people you won't, but there's a lot of people now getting around the UK scene and making big noises that are part of RWA or were part of RWA. So it's a cracking place to start, a cracking place to get on your journey. Don't ever think that you're too old. Look at me, I was 36 when I started.
Oh, that's my age.
Yeah, there you go. Still not too late, Chris.
Too fat to
I'm telling you. So, just I'm all about trying to be positive and stuff, so try, if you've ever wanted to have a go, even if it is just announcing or refereeing, we're always short of the auxiliary roles as well, if you like. Not, it's not just all about just being in the ring. If there's not an announcer to announce you, we can't come in.
No.
If there's not someone selling the tickets, we can't sell the tickets. If there's not someone doing the music, we're coming out to crickets. So it's just one of them. Every role within the wrestling needs filling. So if you ever want to do any of that, I'd urge you to get down to RWA. Also, WrestlePro if you're more Manchester-based. But if you can, come and see us, get to RWA.
I've really enjoyed speaking today. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Yeah, no problem, Chris. Nice one.